There is a well-known proverb, when life hands you a lemon, make lemonade. And of course, that's making the best out of it, trying to get good out of those things. Indeed, in some situations, we can make lemonade, but there are some that we can't make lemonade. For example, a student gets an F on a test and studies harder than ever and then makes an A for the semester. The student has learned from that mistake and has done well because of it, and the student has made lemonade, made a good thing of that. There's other times when we can't necessarily make lemonade. If a Christian is killed after watching his family tortured by a serial murder, where's the lemonade in that? There isn't any, is there? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love the Lord." Sometimes the good that occurs out of something does not even occur in our lifetime. I think in particular of the Christians that were killed because of their faith in Christ, and great good came from that, as is explained in the book of Revelation. But that good occurred long after they died for their faith in Christ. How do we make lemonade when we are enduring trials? And if we can't make lemonade, how do we endure the trials? How do we just put up with it so that we can perhaps see a brighter day? A few things I want to mention to you tonight. The first one is to be proactive. That is to take charge of your life. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. We have to be diligent. We have to be proactive in our life. We just can't sit around doing nothing. The things that we can do is some of the things I'm going to be talking about tonight. We can't just lay around and feel sorry for ourselves. We have to get up and do something. And those are the things God teaches us in His Word. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation." We need to work these things out in our life. And sometimes they're worked out with great struggles. We must be fearing and trembling the Lord, relying upon God. But we can't just lie around expecting something to happen that's going to take care of it all for us. We need to get up and do the things the Lord has given us to do. What can we do? Very simple things. Turn your Bibles tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We can pray about them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And many scriptures we could talk about tonight, and just a few that I want to talk about in our short amount of time here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one of my favorite passages, because as we begin in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll get there in just a second, and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice always." The Apostle Paul is telling us that we can rejoice, we can be happy, we can see the good in every situation. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." In other words, pray all the time. Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but many times as I'm going through a difficult time in life, and I may be depressed, or I may be down, or I may be sad, it's because I'm not giving thanks in my prayers. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be happy about. It seems like sometimes we get so down because one particular thing is not going our way, or it may be some difficulty in life, but we have so much to be happy about and to be thankful about, and we forget about all of those things. And we get down and depressed and sad about a couple of things instead of focusing on the positive. You know, I've never known a time when the glass wasn't at least half full, have you? Now, sometimes the glass is fuller than other times. But we need to focus on the blessings that we have and the many good things that God has given to us as we are praying without ceasing, giving thanks. We sing the song to count your blessings, name them one by one. Have you ever tried to do that? You can't do it, I don't think, before you pass out from praying so much. And so we need to do that, and we need to be thankful for even the simple things, the air that we breathe and the green grass and just every little minute thing And we will see that it changes our whole perspective on life. Turn your Bibles also with me over to Philippians chapter 4. Pray all the time about it, and also tell God about these things. Well, God already knows. Sure, God already knows. But God wants us to tell Him about these things. Another favorite passage of mine, because Paul starts out, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Paul is telling us, as one who suffered great persecution, one who through personal experience knew how to be happy even when things weren't going so well. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." What happens when things start going bad for us? We get angry and upset. We can start to be angry at other people and bite someone's head off and things such as this. So don't be that way. "Be gentle, knowing that the Lord is near." Jesus, the Lord, He's there by you. He's not off somewhere way far away. He's like He doesn't know what's happening. Not so far away where He can't help you. So be gentle. Verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing." Now boy, if we could take this little prescription here, if we could just take this and rely on the Lord and say, "Be anxious for nothing." Anxious is undue worldly care. All right, be concerned about things. Be thoughtful about things. We don't have to be happy-go-lucky. We can plan for the future and do things such as that, but don't be anxious. Don't let it control you. You control it. You manage those things in your life. So he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Prayer, general appeal to God. Supplication, getting down to the specifics. "With thanksgiving." There it is again. You see, a lot of times, I don't know about you, a lot of times when things are going really bad for me, I can pray about the bad things. And I'm good about that. I can pray about the bad things over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and I forget to be thankful. I forget to concentrate my prayers about all that I've got to be thankful about. And when I do that, it totally changes my perspective on life and my problems. He says, "With this thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now this peace of God that surpasses all comprehension, or your Bible may say, understanding. This is the peace that a Christian can have that others out in the world just don't understand how you can be at peace. Things are so bad and things are so terrible and you've got so much going on and you've got so much on you. How is it that you can still be at peace with God? At peace with yourself? At peace with other people? Why is that? That's because we communicate to God and we're so thankful for everything that He does for us. And so we express these things and we trust in God to deal with them. Now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and we'll talk about that. Cast it on God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. This is easily said, not necessarily easily done. But look what he says here, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Now I don't know about you. When it is I can't deal with many of these things, it is because I have not humbled myself before God. Now, if I humble myself before God, what am I going to do? I'm going to let God handle it. Sometimes I don't want God to handle it because I may not like what He does with it. And I want to handle it. Wrong attitude. Hand it over to God. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Mighty hand of God, what does that mean? God's powerful hand. God has the power to deal with whatever needs to be dealt with in your life. That's nothing for Him. That's child's play for Him. All we have to do is hand it over to God. God, your will be done with this. You deal with this. Whatever that means, it doesn't matter. I was telling someone the other day, Beth, I'll tell another personal story. Not about you, about me. I think I told this here before. Talking with someone the other day. And I was telling them that, oh, I was about 25, 26 years old. I was ready to settle down in life. And I was ready to meet a Christian woman that I could spend the rest of my life with. And it looked like that wasn't happening for me, certainly not as quickly as I wanted it to happen. And so I prayed for a year for a Christian wife. I just decided I wasn't going to date anyone who wasn't a Christian. I just prayed for a year, and I was living in Indiana, and there were no Christian women around there that I knew of, at least not where I was living. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed. And got to this point in my life where I said, if God wants me to be single the rest of my life, then I'll accept that. And it seems like about the time that I came about to that, to humble myself under His mighty hand and just let God deal with it, and if it was to be single for the rest of my life, then so be it. That's when things really started happening for me. And I won't tell you the story right now about how Beth asked me out on our first date, July 4th, 1984, and it goes from there. So we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let God, with all of His power, deal with these things. And He will do what? Verse 6, exalt you at the proper time. Verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Cast it on God. That is just to say, God, here's my problems. This is what I'm dealing with. Not as if He doesn't already know. Of course He does. And I'm just giving this over to You, for You to handle, for You to work in my life. And God will do that. Sometimes, perhaps we don't have the faith or the humility to do that. But if we will do it, God in His power will perform His work in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to notice the example of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Now this refers back to Jesus Christ, the time that He was in the garden and the time that He was being crucified and the time that those terrible things were occurring to Him. And this is what Peter says. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin nor any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And what did Jesus do in the garden? Prayed three times for what? That cup to be taken away. That if there's any possible way that this crucifixion not go forward. But He said, your will be done, not mine. And so this was Jesus entrusting Himself to God to say, look, I don't want to be crucified. If there's any way around it, I would prefer not to be. But if it must be, then I know I'll get through it somehow. I used to worry a lot. I used to worry a lot about someone breaking into the house in the middle of the night. So much that when I was in college, now Beth doesn't know this one. So much when I was in college, I slept facing the door. And I would never sleep with my back to the door where they would come into my apartment, because if someone was breaking into the house, I wanted to know as quickly as possible, so I could do whatever I could do about it. And then Beth and I were married, and I was still rather jumpy about these things and all that. And I finally came to terms with it, saying that I know this. Number one, God can prevent anybody from breaking into this house. And if God allows someone to break into this house, and whatever they may do, I know that He will give me what I need to endure it and get through it. Even if it were to be the very worst possible things you could think about. You know, the worst thing someone could do to me is do something to my family and make me watch. Be the worst thing they could do to me. I'd just rather do them. And if they're going to do it to me, do it to me first, so I don't have to know about what they do after that. That's the worst thing they could do, is make me watch. But I said, even if that were to happen, I know that somehow God's going to get me through this. And so I don't have to sleep with my back, you know, to the door anymore. I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it one bit. Doesn't cross my mind. I pray that the Lord keeps us safe at night. I don't think about it. I don't wake up in the middle of the night worried about it. None of those things anymore. I just gave it to God, let God deal with it, and trust God that He will deal with it, and I'll be able to make it through whatever I must make it through with. Now turn your Bible over to Luke 11 with me. Luke chapter 11. I want you to notice Jesus teaching the lesson here on prayer, and He's teaching regarding persistency. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Jesus says this: suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And from inside he answers and says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Verse 8. "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So what is Jesus telling us to do? Jesus is telling us to be persistent in our prayers, in our search of the Scriptures to find answers for our life. He's telling us to be persistent and to never give up and to trust God that when we ask for something good, God's not going to give something bad. Now, if we can do that, our problems are just going to melt away. They're going to melt away. Most of the things we perceive to be a problem aren't problems anyway. Sometimes, Beth, I'll tell this one on you. It's your turn. Beth will say, "What if blah, 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 blah?" I say, "I'm not going to worry about that. It probably won't happen. I'm not going to worry about it. If it does happen, I know we'll be able to deal with it, however that is." And so we must be persistent in our prayers, in our searching, in our seeking, and not give up and trust God to give us good gifts. The things that we need. The things that are the best for us. And I don't know about you, but for me, I can look back at my life and I can see sometimes when I'll be praying for this and God's not giving this to me. And then maybe after a period of time, all of a sudden, here I am, I find myself with that which I prayed for maybe a few years ago. And I look back and I understand that God was not giving me these things earlier because I wasn't ready for them, that I wasn't prepared for them. It's not what I needed. It's not what would be good for me. But I came along to a certain point, and now the Lord has blessed me with that which I asked for. We must trust God that He is giving us good gifts. That which He's giving us now, it's good. It's what we need right now. It's what is best for us right now. It may not be what we necessarily want, but it's what's best for us right now. And turn your Bibles now to Romans chapter 8, the last scripture on prayer, and we'll move on to a few other things. Romans chapter 8. I want you to notice verse 28, first of all, because I mentioned this in the introduction to the lesson. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I may not know what the good is that's going to come about from the adversity that I'm experiencing right now, but I know that good is going to come. Now, if we can believe that, that's going to take care of a lot of our problems. Notice what he tells us now in verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I'm not going to try to get into all of the technicalities of this, because I believe there are many things the Scriptures do not reveal to us as how this occurs. But I do know that I can count on this. But there are times in my life, and maybe you can think of some, when things have just been so distressful, so bad, so perplexing, perhaps of the death of a very close loved one. When your mind is just blank, you know, when you're just so stressed out and you're just so overburdened that you can't even communicate with God. And if you can, it's just on a very general level, and you just, you know, you're just totally wiped out. You just can't in any thorough way communicate to God, and you can't put into words those things which you are feeling or that you would like to express. And we need to know that it's God's will, that the Spirit knows our hearts and communicates this to God, that God knows what's going on. And in the few times that this has occurred to me, I simply offered up a prayer asking God to do exactly what He says in this Scripture, and that is for the Holy Spirit to communicate my heart to Him. Because for whatever reason, I can't do it right now. Maybe later I can do it, but I can't do it right now. And therefore, I know that God knows my heart. He knows my desires. And although I cannot communicate to Him as I would like, I know that His power will be working in my life, that good will occur, and that whatever is perplexing or tormenting or overcoming me will be dealt with. Although I can't even talk about it right now, it'll be dealt with. So when hard times come to make lemonade or to get by, because we can't make lemonade, we need to be proactive. We need to be proactive in our prayers, praying all the time with thanksgiving, telling God, casting these things on Him, being persistent. And when we're just so perplexed that we can't communicate, rely upon His Spirit to do that for us. The next thing I want to mention to you is to use His Word for strength. A few scriptures that I know that you are familiar with. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." The gospel is God's power. But someone may ask, in some technical fashion, how is it that the Word of God works in our life? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I do not know. How is it that we can read the words on these pages, and these words are different from other words in other books? Well, they're the same words. Yeah, it's the English language. But for some reason, the words in the secular books, they don't work within us. But these words do. Someone would want to know in a technical fashion how this occurs. And I do not know how it occurs, nor do I know how God created the universe. I know that He did. And I know that these words work in my life. How they do it, I don't know. 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Power of God. Words. Message of the cross. Power of God. Turn your Bibles over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul here writing to those in Thessalonica to that time when he was with them and preached the gospel to them. In the middle of the verse, that which he preached, He says that you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. God's word performs its work. But it gives us the strength that we need. As we put on the whole armor of God, as it teaches us and as it instructs us, it works within our life. Have you ever tried to put something together without reading the directions? I could say all men raise your hand. I'm sure that would be the case. We're famous for doing those things. And I try to do that from time to time. Sometimes I'm arrogant enough to think that I can put something together without reading the instructions. And finally, I break down and say, where are those instructions? The Word of God really is our instruction manual for life. It tells us about ourselves. It tells us about God. It tells us about how we work and how we function, how we interact with God. Most of all, it tells us about salvation and pleasing God and worshiping Him. And when we believe, verb, action word, when we believe what God says within these words, work is accomplished because we do exactly what they say. It's like going to the directions, trying to put something together, go to the directions, and you do it step by step by step by step. Beth and I put some furniture together not long ago. No way in the world I would ever have guessed how to do it. We're here going by the direction. It says, do this. And it says, do this. It says, do this. So we do all of these things like this, and we say, oh, this makes no sense. All of a sudden, you get to the next, step 10, 11, and 12. All of a sudden, this stuff comes together. You had to be the person who made this the thing to start with to know how to put it together. It's just like us with our lives. We have to go to God. He's the one who made us. He knows the way that we think. He made our minds, our brains. He knows all of this. We have to go to Him and say, how does this thing work? How does life work? How does it work? And when we take step by step by step by step and we do those things, and then all of a sudden we have a good, faithful Christian life in heaven. We'll be in heaven with Him. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. The devil succeeds on a number of levels simply by convincing people they don't need to know what this book says. They don't need to know what it says. You go to church, you don't need to take it with you. Just believe what the preacher says. For a long time, one religious group in particular tried their best to keep the Word of God out of the hands of people and not have it in a language they could understand. Because they knew knowledge of the Word of God was power. And that's what it says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Brethren, for the Word of God to work in our lives, we have to know what it says. We don't know what it says, it's not going to do anything for us. I want you to notice what else He says here, verse 10. So that you will be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. One of my favorite verses. Strengthened with all power. Why? How come? Because we know what the book says. I've got to tell you something. I'm rather disappointed. Do you know what people used to call us? You know what they used to call us? People of the book. I'm sorry they don't call us that anymore. People of the book. Because we just wanted to know what the book, and we're still today, we just want to know what the book says. And we want to do what the book says. That's all we want. Not more, not less. Strengthened with all power. Why? Because we know what the book says. Strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. We can have this inner strength because we know what the Word of God says. We know the promises. We put our faith in those. We do the things God says the way He says. Therefore, we have this strength in our life that whatever happens, whatever occurs, we can still rejoice always because of the strength that comes from knowing what this book says, putting that into practice in our lives. Patience and steadfastness, joyously. Be proactive, pray, use God's word, sing. Now, you may not have thought I was going to bring that one up. Sing. And we know the power that music has in our life. I was watching a... I know what it was. We were on vacation and we went to one of these shows, country music shows. And it came apart in the show and they got patriotic with things. And these lights were shining around the theater and there were stars and it was just the music. And you could tell that something was going to happen. And I felt my whole mood change because of some lights and because of some music. We know the power of music. Let's review a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. We need to have a song on our heart continually. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, how do you do that? How are you filled with the Spirit? Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And we need to do that. We're spiritual people filled with the Spirit. We have the courage that we're brave and we can face whatever must be faced. We have total faith in God because we're spiritual. We have these spiritual thoughts on our mind continually. Look at another one, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Again, you know this scripture. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let me ask you something. Why is it, do you think, the young people like our song service the best of anything else we do? Why do you think that? They get something out of it. What do they get out of it? What we're talking about. To be spiritual, to be filled with the Spirit of God. For Christ to richly dwell within them, the Word of Christ to richly dwell with them. They know on some level these things. Why is it when we get together sometime away from church and we have a singing, and everybody's so happy, and everybody says, oh, they love it so much, and oh, we need to do this more, and just, it was so wonderful. Why is that? See, we can have that every day, can't we? And I think we neglect that, don't we? Don't we neglect to have these songs within our heart? Don't we neglect to turn off the radio and sing these songs in the car? Just have them going through our minds at work or whatever it may be? I think we do. We need to know and understand that this strengthens us, that it encourages us, that it makes us more spiritual, that it makes us wiser to have these things on our mind. Number 683. I think we sang that, was it today? Maybe at the close of the service this morning? This song has it right. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in His promises grand. Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to Him and pray. Lift your voices and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Singing these psalms, how sad and down and out can you really get? I mean, how depressed can you be? Singing these hymns and songs and spiritual songs, thinking on spiritual things, thinking on Jesus Christ who paid the supreme sacrifice for you and I, how down can you really get? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to get down if we do these things. Be proactive. Pray. Use God's word. Sing to the Lord. Don't isolate yourself. Some other passages that we're very familiar with, and I want to point them out to you once again. Hebrews 10. Sometimes when things are going really, really bad, people like to just isolate themselves. Brother told me, his wife, I don't remember if his wife passed away or close relative passed away. I don't remember. Got it. Son passed away. Drowning accident. His response was, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be around people. I want to stay by myself. I just don't want anything to do with anybody. The elders of the church came and spoke to him and said, you're doing the opposite of what you need to be doing. You need to be with people that care for you, that can lift you up, that can encourage you, that you're encouraged by the things that we do, that you're encouraged by learning from the Word of God and singing these songs and praying together. You don't need to be by yourself. Notice what is said here in Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning in verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And when things get bad and we're trying to make lemonade, or maybe we can't make lemonade, if we have full assurance of faith, are we going to stay down? No. The only reason we're going to stay down is we don't have full assurance of faith. If we totally, with all of our heart, trust in God and His promises, we're not going to stay down. But notice what he says here. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Brethren, that's what we do. That's what we do when we come here. When we, even before we leave the house, we have to have our mind made up, I'm going to encourage other people. That's why I'm going there. That I'm going there to stimulate others to love and good works. Love is agape there. To do the right thing, to have the right commitment that's going to carry us through no matter what. And so we have that commitment and we come here to do that. And we leave here stronger every time. Brethren, if we're not, we're doing something wrong. Leave here stronger. Every time. So whatever it is, whatever's got me dragging me down, whatever it is that's holding me back, whatever it is, if we'll come together and we will assemble and worship together, we will be stronger after that hour or so together than if we sat home and did nothing. Or if we sat home and were by ourselves. We need other people to strengthen us with God's Word. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. Paul says, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. When things are hard and things are difficult, we don't need to isolate ourselves from everyone else. That's when we need to call people in to help. because we as Christians are able to admonish one another, to encourage, to instruct, to give advice, to help. God equips us to do this. And we have to rely upon our brethren, knowing that this is part of being a Christian. This is in part is what the church does. Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. James 5, 14 to 16. We are blessed to have elders here. Brethren, in some places are not. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. When things are bad and things are not going well, we need to assemble with the saints so we can be energized, we can be strengthened. We need to call for others who can help us and give us advice and admonish us and instruct us. And we need to pick up the phone and call the elders and say, look, I need you guys. Tell them what's going on. Explain what's going on. God has put elders in the church to help when things are not going as well as we would like for them to. And they can pray. And they can help. And they can instruct. And they can teach. And they can give advice. And they can do all of these things to help us. But I want you to notice who's obligated to make the phone call. It's the person in need. It's the person in need. That's our obligation to do that. What can we do when life gives us a lemon? We can make lemonade. If we can't make lemonade, we must bear through the trials. How do we do that? Be proactive. Just don't lay there in misery. Be proactive about it. Pray, trusting in God. Tell Him about it. Cast your care upon Him. Be persistent in your prayers. Use God's Word to make you stronger. It's His power. Sing to the Lord. Be spiritual. And do not isolate yourself. Assemble with the saints. Call those who can help. And call upon the elders. What a blessing the Lord has given to all of us. As Christians, we are not like and do not need to be like everyone else in the world who has all of these problems and no solutions. For us as Christians, there is a solution. Even if the solution is to have the power and the strength to endure it, there is still a solution. There is always a solution. And thankfully, God gives us the power and the strength and everything that we need on every single occasion to see us through every single trial. Those we can make lemonade, fantastic. Those we must endure, maybe even till death, we'll do that. Having the peace that surpasses all understanding, the glory of God. Man, isn't it great to be a Christian? Somebody say amen. We offer the invitation. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can become one. Lord Jesus Christ has made it so easy to become a Christian. Simply believing in Him, repenting of our sins, turning away from the wrong, do the right, change of mind, resulting in a change of action, confessing our faith, we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being baptized for remission of our sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus says. And we believe that with all of our hearts. If we can help you tonight, won't you step to the front as we stand and sing.